What's that what?
He was putting one in every state. In the United States.
Wow. That was incredible. How long did it take for him to do that?
Oh, it didn't take a month or two. And he did that with a cold chisel. You know what a cold chisel?
Yeah, it's a big flat thing.
You have small ones and big ones, just like a man using a blacksmith shop, and he carved that out by hand. He done did that by hand.
Did he use any fire to do it? He didn't use any fire? You know, I looked at that and I thought, well, the only way a man could do that would be to use fire to, you know, maybe burn it to a place and then stop the fire. And
he cut that tree down, trimmed it up, and sawed it all. And you see how it is right now. He was out there with just trunks on. And it could be a sleeping, and that boy was still out there, and he was about your age. He got, me and him got up a terrible argument. He said he was doing that. Now, I don't believe now that he gave me the full story. He said he was doing that free. He didn't get a dime out of it, but you know, he had to live.
Yeah, that's true.
And he had a good outfit, a big van, fixed it. He could live in that, you know, sleep. Eat and all of that. And there was some money coming from somewhere because he couldn't do it.
I guess he's probably an artist or a sculptor.
He started that, and he was, well, that's all he'd ever done. And he said he was going to put one in every state. Next time I heard from him is Alabama. He'd found a, you see, now he'd be driving through Miller County. Well, he was looking. And he was coming through Carl, but happened to see this big oak. All right, that's good. So he goes and got the mission, and he carved that out. And he was going to put one in every state. So he said, and I got a nephew. I got a niece that married one of them that come over here. You remember when they, all of them in Hungary there when they was fixing to take that over?
Yeah, that was in the 50s, I think, during the revolution.
And there's a bunch of them run away. Well, his daddy ran away. And there's one of the boys run away, and he married my niece in Ohio. And he couldn't speak a word of English when he got here. But he's really doing good now. Of course, I've done a lot of talking with him, you know, about how they lived and how we lived here. And I was telling this boy, he said, we come with him. He said, what, my daddy come? But now this boy was raised here. But still, he had that. He spoke. You could tell that he could talk to me or you. But then you could tell he had that accent, you know.
Yeah, some of the words he used too.
But the people were good to him. They'd go there and they'd stand around. They'd watch him, ask him questions. And he kept a something. But he had a safety belt on to keep him falling. Had a ladder, a nine in it out of a slip, you know. And if his ladder slipped, he wouldn't fall pretty safe. But I stopped every time I passed, see how it was getting along. I asked him all about how long it was going to take him and this, that, and the other. You could let it be a freezing. He was out there and just talking with a pair of trunks on up there chiseling. If it was raining, he was still up there chiseling. Sleeping, he was still up there chiseling. And he said that the Indians were treated so bad that we had treated them. I said, no, I ain't going to go with you now. Yeah, but says, I've got the history, so I've done read too much about it. Well, it didn't matter what he had read.
Yeah, especially when somebody's read something and you've talked to the Indians, and that's a different, completely
Well,
different
and
story.
Then